from New York City.
The Comedy Cellar and Rethink Production present
Live from America Podcast.
We will make America great again.
How about new,
you crazy Dutch bastard?
Live from America Podcast.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise.
Who did that
up,
live
live
from America Podcast? Who said that?
We hold
that's somebody I hired.
That
bring her in? Bring her in?
Yeah, no. Excuse me.
It's online.
So
we can't be the stupid country anymore.
Live from America Podcast.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what you look like, or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white, or Hispanic or Asian, or Native American, or young or old, or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America if you're willing to try.
It's just words, folks. It's just words.
This is Live from America Podcast. With Noam Dorman and Hadam Gab.
Hello and welcome to Live from America Podcast from the Comedy Cellar, New York City. Boris Hyken is here, comedian. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And by
semi-regular Dan Natterman.
You want to be the regular Dan?
No, I'm semi-regular. I'm fine with that because it's too much pressure to be a regular.
Yeah, okay.
That means I have to come here every week and sometimes I can't.
Yeah, okay. So, special guest, Dan Natterman.
Semi-regular.
Yeah, semi-regular, Dan Natterman. And our guest, the famous stripper comedian, Christy Monroe.
Hi.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, Noam Dorman is
a
here.
A stripper comedian?
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't read my emails?
No.
I'm a very wholesome girl, I promise.
Okay, I'll let you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm all flustered. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So where do you...
You can say anything.
Are you a stripper while you're telling jokes, or you have two different lines of work?
All of the above. So I've been a stripper for 5 years. I currently work at Vivid on 37th and 6th and Gossip on Long Island.
Vivid on 37th and 6th. I don't know that. Is that a higher end?
Yes. I'm a classy.
Don't
pretend you don't go
there's
there.
There's flash dancers. And you're above flash dancers.
Yes, Vivid's the best. It's owned by Rick's.
Is it affiliated with Vivid Video or nothing to do with it?
I asked the owners once. They said that they purchased the licensing rights to use the thing,
name.
But it's not actually affiliated with them.
So how? I know. For instance, I've heard that like the Hustler Club is almost like all VIP, like one-on-one type VIP. Room stuff. It's kind of like
a brothel. Hustler Club is a brothel.
It's a brothel?
It's a brothel,
yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's so gross there.
Oh,
I worked
guessed.
There one time and it was
Is it
appalling.
All nude?
No. I mean, topless. Out on the floor, they follow the rules. You know how Chris Rock said no sex in the champagne room?
Yeah.
He's never been to
champagne room.
Club,
well,
apparently.
We should underline that, you know, we don't want to necessarily... for legal reasons.
Allegedly,
there is prostitution that goes on there. We don't know that for a fact.
I don't think she means prostitution.
I think she might. All I know is in Vegas, I once went to the Crazy Horse 2,
mm-hmm.
and they said, come to the champagne room. The woman said, it's $300. I said, what goes on in the champagne room? She said, trust me, it's worth it.
I say that all the time.
Well, guess what? Wasn't worth it. I got three half-baked, half-assed lap dance. I thought it was going to be prostitution. And it was just three
Why didn't you ask?
Because I thought it was like code lingo. You can't say it, but it's wink, wink, and we're in Vegas. And
yeah.
Maybe
don't
you
worry
said
about
something
it.
And ruined it. It was
Maybe
be
it was
going to
be that. But it was very... It was. But what am I going to do? Go to the manager and say... Hey, I thought it was going to be a blowjob, and you know, I had no leg legally to stand on.
I don't think you can get a blowjob in the champagne room. You get a hand job.
Well,
in the
I thought when
room.
She said, "Trust me, it's worth it."
I do
thought
that
it
all the time.
A minimum.
You give them nothing.
Yeah, I wrote this joke as when I was a child, I got molested just enough to be okay with being a stripper, but not enough to be okay with being a prostitute.
Ah,
that's very funny.
I know, I'm hilarious.
but that is. With all due respect,
mm-hmm.
a little bit deceptive, wouldn't you say?
Deceptive?
Welcome to the industry.
to say that, trust me, it's worth it when men like me, she's now, this
I
is
really
a,
like you.
you.
Yeah, I know. I've been there. I mean, I've, and finally, after many years, I finally learned that they don't really like me. Well, it took me a long time to figure that out.
You can't let yourself get shut off, though. Some might like, you know, it's not all or none.
Yeah, a lot of guys go to the strip club and they say, like, she really likes
me. You know,
does that ever happen? Have you ever met somebody that you like in a strip club?
How much money do you have?
So it depends. So you like his money?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but have you dated? I know I was with, I'm not going to mention his name, but a fellow comic. We went to Flash Dancers many years ago. He got a fancy for one of the women on stage, and they ended up dating for a couple of few months.
It could happen. And I'm not saying it'll never happen.
It happens all the time.
It happens quite frequently, I think.
I wouldn't say frequently. Like, you have to be, strippers are very good at figuring out which guys are good, I guess.
Okay, so this is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
What are the indications that a guy is not a creep? In the way he behaves, like when you first give him like a lap dance. What do you look for in his touch and his attitude? Like, what is it?
This is a true story. If he's tipping well, if he's showing you that he appreciates your time and that he's there for entertainment and not for something that crosses the line. There's a boundary that is kind of like an unsaid rule in stripping.
The Hustler Club, but in other places.
It's like regarding the customers, there's men that come there and they're expecting sex. Like, that's what they're there for. And then there's men that come there and they're just trying to have a good time and relax. Yeah. And those are the guys that I like to deal with. It happens all the time that I end up in a private room with a guy that is there to cheat on his wife, and he tells me, like, I have 5-month-old babies at home.
That's a nice conversation.
Yeah, it's
weird.
But
would you consider dating one of these men that you find respectful and a client, or rather a customer, whatever the word would be? I mean, have you ever, and would you consider?
I never have. In the 5 years that I've been dancing, I've only ever befriended one person who is a customer. He's a really nice, like, young guy, just, you know, nice guy. But for me, like, a lot of my comedy, people think I'm making jokes, but I'm really not. And I'm going to marry a doctor. Hear me when I say that. So.
Oh, you want to marry a doctor?
Yes.
Doctor, no.
Can you send me your video of comedy?
Yeah.
Please send me, because oh, my God, could you imagine what a great act she could be?
I have, yeah. I mean, I do this all the time.
Do you want to marry a doctor for his money, or you have a certain love of the medical field?
No. Okay, I want to marry a doctor because I strongly believe that the apocalypse is upon us, and I want someone on my tribe who can stent my heart.
Oh, okay.
I've thought this through.
I can stent your heart.
Yeah, that's easy. So why did you decide to become a stripper?
Well, it's a very long story, but I owned a really successful mixed martial arts school, and I was married to a Marine, and then, we got divorced, and I moved to South Florida.
It's always Florida. There's always Florida in that story.
Certainly oftentimes.
Every stripper has a Florida connection.
Often.
So, and in my entire life, I've never tasted a sip of alcohol, tried a drug, or smoked a cigarette. So I got this job to be a shot girl at this nightclub, and I thought, like, it was gonna go great, and then I quickly found out no one wants to buy shots from a girl who doesn't drink. So the guy didn't pay me because I didn't sell one shot, and he said, just come back the next night. So I came back the next night, and there was this girl there, and she wasn't thinner than me and she wasn't prettier than me, but, like, clearly knew something I didn't know. And so I was like, what do you know? And she's like, well, I'm a stripper. And I was like, oh, you whore. And then I asked her the same 5 questions that people ask me now, which are, how much money do you make? What happens in a private room? Do you have to fuck the managers? What do you do on your period? And are you safe? And
can you answer each one for us right now?
Yes, I can. So she had answered all the questions, and then I just decided I was going to do it. And I went, like, I'm a little bit more, I don't know, like, detailed than the average stripper, I guess. So
less than the average comedian, but go ahead.
So I went on this crazy crusade for 3 weeks where I forced my alcoholic friend to come with me to every strip club in South Florida, and I took notes on all the girls and how they were dancing and what shoes they were wearing and what they were saying.
Now, Florida's all nude, right?
Yeah. And so, like, you know, like, learning everything I can, and then I read 1,000 forums about everything there is to know. Awesome. And so then the safest club, it said online, was this club called Scarlett's in Fort Lauderdale. So I went there and I got hired, which is actually a very long, very funny story that I tell on stage. And then through all that preparation.
I'm sorry, sweetie. It's my wife. Hold on a second.
It's okay.
Hello. Hi, sweetie. I'm on the radio.
She knows.
Yeah. Is everything okay?
She's like, okay,
I'll call you later. Okay. Bye. Okay.
Her spidey senses.
Stop bothering me. Go ahead.
So through all that preparation of like figuring out how to be a stripper and break into the industry, it never occurred to me to figure out how to give a lap dance. So my first lap dance is a really funny story that I do like a really good act out on stage. My first customer ever was this morbidly obese man named Mauricio. And he took me into this like private room and he's like, okay, I want you to dance for me. And I just stood in the corner and I was like, okay. And he's like, no, you have to dance on me. And I didn't know how because his belly was so big. So
you should charge him double.
I know. So like then he like grabbed my hips and he sits me down. He's like moving me around and I'm just jiggling around on his belly fat. And then he's like, this is the worst lap dance ever. And he pushed me off of him and he gave me $200 and left. And
that's the worst one?
That was my first lap dance ever. Yeah. So I was like holding my $200 and I was like, I'm going to keep doing this. So nice. The legend was born 5 years in now.
So, okay, what were the five questions? Do you have to fuck the manager?
No.
Never?
Yeah, every club I've ever worked at, the managers have been extremely professional.
Well, let's not talk just about you. Like, in general, the strippers does that, like, in the same club? Because I know they act differently.
They do, but they don't have to.
Someone fucks the manager.
All right, so if strip clubs were rated, like, A, B, C, D, I work at A-level strip clubs, and they're generally...
Who rate them?
I'm just saying, hypothetically, in general, if they were rated, okay? My favorite pastime, which maybe is not your favorite pastime, I live for this. I love to go to D-level strip clubs. Mm-hmm. It's the best. So one of the best ones...
To work or just to...
No, just to witness what's going on in there. To sightsee.
Me too, yeah.
So one of my favorite clubs in the entire world is called Tease Lounge in West Palm Beach. And you know how there's a lot of drug rehabs down there?
Yeah.
So at Tease Lounge, there's a 6-foot privacy fence. And on one side is all these trailers where there's a drug rehab. And then the other side is this strip club. So all the strippers are in the rehab and then they strip to pay for their rehab. So one night I was at T's Lounge, best night of my life, and I saw a black pimp slap his white hoe, and then she picked up a folding chair and threw it across the club at him. And I was so excited because she's living my dream. That's amazing. That's the best.
So you don't have to sleep with managers.
If that's the best night of your life, I think a night with Dan Natterman might be in your car. So now if you have your period, you stay home.
No, if you have your period, you just tuck the string up there.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was another question? What happens in the VIP room?
Well, it depends on the girl. And
it depends on the girl or the club.
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say both. I mean, I work at some very high end strip clubs, and there are definitely girls in there that are choosing things that I personally would not choose to do.
Like sex, having sex.
Not intercourse.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In the VIP room?
Oh my God, do you want to hear a really funny story what happened at work last night? Two nights ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was standing by the bar talking to a customer, and like me and the guy, you know, he was funny. And then we were watching these two prostitutes sell a champagne room to this other guy, and he's like, yeah, I want to do it. So then he went and took like $3 out of his pocket to leave on the bar, and he turned around to walk away with them. And me and the guy watched his condom fall out of his pocket.
Oh, yeah. And he went in there without weight.
Yeah. He was going to be really upset when he got in there.
That's funny.
That was super funny.
What were the other two questions?
Are you safe? Am I safe?
Feel safe.
Yeah. So I definitely, there's a learning curve for sure. One time when I was dancing in Florida, I had been dancing. I have no memory of who this person might have been or anything, but I went on Craigslist to sell my kitchen table, and then I put my phone number in just to make sure that my kitchen table would come up in the ads, and up popped a picture of my face, and I was like, oh, God. And I clicked on it, and it was an advertisement somebody put up with two clear pictures of my face, my home address, my phone number, like all my personal information, saying, I want to pay someone $500 to kill her. So I brought it to the police. Yeah, so I brought it to the police. The police were able to trace the IP address and figure out who it was.
And Brett Kavanaugh?
I don't know if I should say his name.
Don't say his name. No, yeah. Was it a customer?
No, it was just a customer. I have no memory.
Well, it was a customer.
Yeah, like maybe. I mean,
that must have been a bad lap dance.
I don't know.
Was it the first guy?
It was a fat guy.
No, it wasn't him.
He's got money to throw around if he's paying $200 for a bad lap dance.
Yeah, I don't. I'm
so
not...
hold on, $200 for a lap dance, $500 to kill you? The prices are
that's horrible. Did you go to jail for that?
Yeah. Good. So then I had gone, and the police, I was like, you know, do I have to come for the trial and everything? They were like, no, just, you know, this sworn affidavit and everything. But it was the state versus, you know, the guy's name, and they prosecuted him.
Who hires a hitman on Craigslist?
Christ. I don't know.
Somebody broke, for sure.
Yeah.
How do you ascertain who's going to be, you know, you're surveying the room.
Yeah,
and I've been
it's like Silk Road stuff. Go ahead.
And you're trying to figure out who should I go over to because you're trying to make money. You're working, and it's hard work, by the way.
Yeah,
very.
And
hard.
So you got to figure out who's going to be generous and who's going to be lucrative. Yeah. How do you do that?
So when I go up to a customer, I'm really polite and I say, "Hi, how are you?" If he puts his hand around my waist and like immediately touches my butt, I say immediately, do you want a lap dance? No? Okay, bye. And I just walk away. The people that are more likely to spend money usually are going to be less grabby initially. Uh-huh. And
not Dan, but go ahead.
Dan's a
perfect mole. No, when I was recently at this place called the Spearmint Rhino in Vegas when I was doing Gnomes Club.
That's
there.
A good club, yeah.
And they kept coming at me, and I kept telling them, I'm sorry, I don't want to dance. And you'd have figured that the word would have spread by after a while, and they kept coming.
No, because they figure that she's not your cup of tea, that you're waiting for the black girl, you're waiting for the Asian girl.
Even we know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Yeah. But I figured they were good enough and experienced enough to know a cheapskate when they see one.
It only takes one bad decision from you to swipe your credit card for us to have a good night. So
you're not getting my credit card.
Well,
I'm good.
Dan and I went to a strip club. And now tell me if this looks good. So Dan, there was music, and Dan was playing like air drums at the table. And the girls come over to talk to us, and Dan's just like, not now, baby. I'm like, oh God, and we were actually the only people in the strip club.
But you know, these girls were investing a lot of like one girl sat on my lap and started talking to me for a long time, and eventually she did get a couple lap dances out of me. Because I felt at that point I figured
that's a tactic. That
well,
some
because
girls
you
use.
Spent 20 minutes talking to me, and I didn't have the nerve, I didn't have the temerity to say, nah, I don't want to dance after, because I figured I owed it to her.
What's your profile?
What profile?
What kind of stripper? Height, weight, race.
The truth of the matter is, I'm not into that.
You go?
Because you said let's go to a strip club.
No, why'd you go into the Spearmint Rhino?
Because I had nothing else to do. And I figured I like to look, but I don't like the lap dances. Don't thrill me.
Well, then you should sit by the stage and tip still, because it's very rude. I don't come to where you work and waste your time.
Well, yeah, I'll tip at the stage, but sometimes they keep coming at you.
I just need somebody to talk to.
What if you're ordering drinks and you're hanging out?
No, that doesn't result in money for me if you're ordering drinks.
No, she's absolutely right. I mean, they're there to work. You don't bother them.
So
I have one last question. It doesn't take much. Can I be vulgar?
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to make some men come, obviously.
Yeah.
That is vulgar.
And what is your feeling? What level of repulsion, if that's a word, do you feel when you realize a man is actually having an orgasm?
Well, has that happened?
Oh, it doesn't repulse me.
That
happens all the time. Yeah, I think I have a magic vagina.
Yeah.
And
well, that's intriguing.
Yeah.
You have a magic vagina?
I think so.
But I'm talking about from a lap dance.
Yeah. Just like. Well,
what's
know,
that got to do with
thing.
Your vagina?
It just.
Just the energy?
Just the
energy.
Idea.
Yes. It's Bluetooth vagina.
Wireless.
So, one thing I think you might be thinking is, oh, that's going to be my last lap dance from this dude.
No. Well, I mean, that usually happens in a private room.
That's going to be the last dance.
Yeah. It usually happens in a private room. And like then I'll say, like oh, you know, don't worry. And I'm very polite about it. I'll go get him napkins or whatever, and you know, so he can clean up. But then I'll say, like, you know, you're welcome to tip me, and then usually he'll tip me like 100% of what he paid. So
okay, so what now?
To
what?
Keep it a secret or the?
No, so if.
But speaking of coming, yeah. Though, I don't know if you guys want to know this. I wrote Louis C.K. a letter, and I said, "Dear Louis C.K., if you let me open for you, I'll watch you come every night. Sincerely, the stripper comedian."
So in the lineup on the strip club, do you guys have like an opening act and closing act? Like,
have you ever been to a strip club?
I have. No, I mean,
who
like,
does the checks? By?
No. What I mean is, do you have, you know, the not too professional, not too cute dancers first or last, or
no.
Or how's the order goes? Like, do you go by how sexy you are?
No. So if you're a feature entertainer, which I'm a feature entertainer, then they put us the features when the club is the busiest. So it's usually like midnight, 2 a.m. And like about 3:15 a.m.
So the main ones don't come out until one later on when it's busy.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make sense to put, you know, the best player. You know.
So let's just get it. So lap dance is $20 a dance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no inflation.
Yeah,
it's hard because
everything's going up. But lap dance,
it's hard because the $20 bill is that like $25 is difficult to pay, right?
Right. Yeah. That's a good point.
So lap and the VIP room is.
It depends on the club, but
at Vision.
Vivid. At Vivid, it's I think. $450 for a half hour and $800 for an hour.
$800 for an hour.
Yeah.
And what?
And they're not hooker. It's just $800 to hang out for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to come in the room with me?
Wait, go ahead.
Yes.
I'll give you $350. What tip? How much tip do you have to leave? For what's the minimum for her to feel like, okay, this when I see this dude next time, I'm not going to avoid him.
It'd be nice if you leave 100%, like whatever you paid for the room, you should also leave
so
for the girl.
So $1,600 for an hour.
Uh-huh.
What? No. I could get a MacBook.
With all due respect,
most people.
That's a story that I tell on stage about how I got my MacBook.
But most people won't leave 100% tip.
Well, you can get sex with
they
a.
They will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can get sex with a very, very beautiful young lady for $1,600.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You should go to a brothel and do that then.
Well, I'm just saying.
800 tip is a lot. I'm surprised that it's.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I don't. Where's the. Some people prefer to just hang out.
These are non-Jewish people, Dan. They're not parsing it.
Yeah, what if you don't tip all year, but then you bring one big tip on Christmas?
Oh.
It's like a doorman.
Let me tell you about when the Hasidic Jews come.
Oh, yes. Oh,
please do.
That's my favorite.
This actually gives him an erection.
Do they come in uniform?
Yeah, with the wheel of cheese and everything.
How can they?
They're
please,
allowed.
Please tell.
You're not Jewish, are you?
Me, no.
No, they're allowed. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They definitely are very demeaning, though. Which is weird.
Hell yeah, they're demeaning to me, and I'm not even in the club with them.
But yeah, they're very demeaning, very cheap, and very grabby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, wait, but I want to know more.
Are the worst? Is there anybody worse than the Hasidim? Because I, you know, I feel like. You know, you put the Jews down, which is fine if that's...
The Jews.
No,
that's
okay. No, let me explain.
It's fine. It's fine. You don't have to explain.
Well, if that's your experience, I don't want you to be
specifically, the Hasidic Jews are a problem, but I have plenty of really good customers who are Jewish.
They don't represent all Jews. Wait, I actually have like a political thing because I remember this from a while ago that there was a whole situation happening with like Instagram models coming into clubs and not even stripping but still getting all the money because they had Instagram followings and clubs would book them. And it became like a race issue too because it was usually like cute little white girls that would come in that had like 100,000 followers on Instagram. Are you familiar with this at all?
Yeah, I haven't really run into that problem. There's a thing called the stripper strike, which like is yeah. been going
That's
on.
That's how I learned about it.
Yeah. I mean, the stripper strike, they're dealing with all kinds of issues, and it's mainly girls of color that feel like they're being unfairly treated in their clubs. For me personally, and like, you know, maybe the clubs that they're working in are like B level, C level clubs. In A level clubs, that's not really an issue.
Everyone's taking
care.
Well,
do you find that the girls of color get less clients, or who gets the most money? What kind of girls make the most money?
The Hasidic Jewish strippers. The kind of girls that make the most money are the pretty ones that hustle hard. It doesn't matter what race you are. I have a really good friend who is black, and she's gorgeous, like stunning, beautiful girl. But she has a bad attitude, and when we go to work, she
shocking.
She gets mad, and she's like, "You're making more money because you're white." No, it's because I'm polite and I'm articulate and I'm interesting and I have a lot of different topics to talk about.
You said that to her?
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. And
because I would have said, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't have the nerve to.
No, I told her. I mean, I'm sorry. For example, one time we were in the club and this guy was like sitting on the edge of a bar stool, and she had gone up to him and said, like, "You need to sit all the way back on that bar stool. You're going to fall." And then I was like, "Shut up." And then I grabbed her, and then later on I was like, "You need to realize why men are coming here. Okay, they're coming here because their wife is shitty and criticizes every single thing they do, and they breathe wrong, and they can't pay the bills right, and they're not making enough money, and like all of those things.
They spend too much time on their computer."
So you don't want
to always at the comedy club. Okay, never.
you don't want to like tell a customer, you know, you're doing this thing wrong, even if you're trying to make a joke, because they're there because they're escaping something bad at their home. Like they're not there because they have a great family life. Like there's something wrong, and that's why they came here. So you want to be as nice to them as possible.
I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I think you can have a good family life, but still want to look at beautiful women and
I know, I agree. And
but the percentage is small.
That's part of the like strip club world is that there is no one demographic. There's no one situation. Like there's no one perfect beautiful girl or perfect customer, or whether they're Jewish or black or like whatever it is. You learn to really treat people as individuals, and you might think stereotypically like, oh, you know, strippers that are skinny with big boobs and blonde hair are going to make the most money, and that's not true. And you might think like, you know, old white guy
90s.
Is the best customer, and that also might not be true. Like the other night, I had two really great customers who were black. They were from South Africa. Great customers.
They tipped 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about famous people coming into the club? Is Vivid a hotbed of celebrity clientele?
Yeah. Should I say specific names or not?
I'd love to hear them, but I don't know.
It doesn't matter to us.
We don't care. They might not like it.
We can beep it out.
Wait, am I going to? Okay, I don't want to get sued.
Well, we don't give a fuck, but.
Okay.
I mean, they came to the club.
You can't get sued.
Yeah.
Well, it's only liable.
You can't
if it's
get
false.
Sued, but they might not come back and want to do business with you.
Yeah.
So we'll beep it out.
Okay, all right.
You'll beep it out, Zach?
Rhymes with.
Okay, all right. Doc Gooden is one of the nicest people in the whole entire world from the Mets.
Him.
I don't think anybody's cared about. Yeah, I mean, he's to me, like growing up.
Yeah.
That's a
Dwight
huge
Gooden
thing,
or Doc Gooden?
That's
the same
his
person.
Nickname, Doc Gooden.
Doc.
Yeah.
Wait, is Dwight Gooden is Doc Gooden?
Yes.
They're the same person.
Gotcha.
Lenny Dykstra is a psychopath.
Who?
Didn't he die?
No, he's still alive.
Lenny who? I don't
Lenny Dykstra. He was on the same
also
team.
Also
alive
player.
And harassing strippers.
Oh,
is an asshole.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so disappointing.
He's an asshole like what?
He's really rude and just very like snarky and
He has a sex addiction. David Duchovny. Didn't he go to like
you're
the
right.
clinic
well,
for sex addiction?
Well, if he has a sex addiction, it doesn't equate to tipping strippers well.
Yeah. I see.
He's only half Jewish, by the way. Go on.
Red Fu from LMFAO is the grossest human being alive.
I don't know. Oh, right.
The that song, one. That I'm sexy and guys. I know
not,
it.
Not Red, right, not Red Fox.
The grossest man alive?
Yeah. You know how like his lyrics are like, "I'm running through these hoes like Drano." Like those are like the lyrics to a song.
I know now.
That's not a joke. Like that's his real life. It's disgusting.
Like he's like, getting hookers left and right?
He's a 40-year-old man, and he is railing 18-year-old girls, like six of them a day, and then sending them into his nephew's room when he's done with them. It's so gross.
Is his nephew the other guy in LMFAO?
Sounds like Brett Kavanaugh.
But his nephew ended up suing him, which is why LMFAO isn't a group anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's rebranding as the Party Rock Crew. Whatever.
Who else you got? People that I might know from the non-sports, non-rap world.
Oh God. Okay. I don't know who you know. Who do
actors?
You know?
Duchovny. Duchovny. I know. You know. Yeah. Movie stars and musical stars. I don't mean musical theater. I mean rock.
Okay. I always forget the guy's last name. Bruce. The guy that wrote what? No. The guy. The guy that wrote Roseanne and Anger Management.
Bruce Valanche?
Is that his last name? From, I don't know.
From with the blonde hair. Yeah, from Hollywood Squares.
He's like a big writer. He wrote
Bruce Valanche,
big
maybe
fat guy.
But he's fat and gay.
No,
fat and old
what?
Guy.
No, this
he
guy
looks like a postmenopausal
bald.
Woman. Right?
No, that's not.
No,
him.
You're wrong. Anyway, he wrote Roseanne and Anger Management and a bunch of other TV
don't know.
Shows.
We don't know.
Okay.
Right,
these
yeah.
are some B-list celebrities. I hate to say it.
Who do you want?
I thought it was an A-list.
I
want to
hear about Sting or people like that. Back in the day, you hear about Sting going to strip clubs and Bruce Willis.
Okay. Fat Joe. He's pretty nice.
Okay. Well, who's Fat Joe?
You don't know Fat Joe?
I don't know rap.
Okay, but he's famous.
So guys.
Well, you got to be really famous as a rapper. I know Kanye.
Has Kanye been in?
Fat Joe's pretty famous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't be pretty famous for me to know who you are as a rapper.
You probably know
you
got to
be
songs.
Kanye level famous.
Fat Joe's like the Rockaway, right?
Yeah.
I don't listen to. You're not getting it.
I don't
like that kind of music.
We don't dance. So, we just pull up our pants and.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, when I prefer women. But I'm gonna ask the guys a question because we're fawning all over you. I don't like it, fellas. When you go to a strip club, do you prefer the women who've been augmented or the women who are natural?
Non-augmented.
Lies.
No.
Lies.
No.
Okay, let me tell you something.
We weren't talking to you.
I'm not that very...
How can we lie about what our
Because this infuriates me, actually. Okay,
I am natural
head to toe, okay? And I watch night after night after night, I watch it happen that guys will be like, yeah, I really like girls that are all natural. Oh, okay, fantastic. And then they get a little bit drunker, and then they're in a private room with a girl that's fake head to toe.
Well, that's them. That's not us. We're men of distinction and discernment.
I'm actually turned off by the fake boobs.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet it depends. I've not been to a lot of strip clubs, and the ones I've been to have been like real shitty. I remember I went to one.
We should all go to one together and then do a podcast about it.
Oh yeah. My ex girlfriend took me to one in New Orleans, and they had like a mattress on the floor, and they just looked like. Doped out, like it just did not look.
Ew.
It was like a sad kind of
it
was
Chinese
like,
opium.
The D-list thing you're talking about. And then I went in Canada in like Treblant, I think it was my buddy's
Montreal or Quebec.
No, I've been to Montreblanc,
mm-hmm. And it was this.
Where's that
in Quebec?
It was all my friends were like scientists, and I was like, we're not going to go to a strip club. And then they like dragged us to a strip club, and. First of all, they all spoke French. You couldn't speak to any of them. And one of them was like a 45-year-old with braces. It was just a very, like a sad scene.
What's this have to do with the fake boobs?
Well, I feel like if it's like a cheaper place, first of all, the fake tits are going to look more obviously fake. Whereas like, I don't have enough experience where like, I wouldn't be surprised they've been making fake tits for how long if like they made a pair of fake tits where like, I don't know.
Oh, if you don't know, you don't know.
Exactly.
But I think you know. You can always tell.
Yeah.
You kind of know. So you meet somebody, you date somebody that's rich from the club, you go out
with
them?
Before, so when you hear us saying we like the fake,
she doesn't believe us.
We like real breasts better.
Yeah.
What's going through your head?
It's just
liars.
Like, I mean, on a mass scale.
You're like, I won the lottery with these dudes? Or what are you thinking?
No, I don't know. I really don't understand it, honestly.
Have you been tempted to get fake boobs yourself?
No. I was given the tits from God. I have perfect tits.
No, many thoughts.
You want to call your wife back?
I don't know. I don't know if it's that guys, like, when they get drunker, they just, I don't know, forget about the silicone. I'm not really sure what it is, but I'm telling you that as soon as guys, like, have been in the club for an hour or two and, you know, they get a little bit drunker,
I'm telling you what I think it is.
99 times out of 100, they drift to the girls that are fake.
I think the girls who get fake tits are more outgoing in general, and they're more
hustlers.
They work hard. That's right. It takes.
Kristen has been so blessed genetically that I don't think she hustles as hard as somebody.
No. You can ask anybody in the industry. There is not a girl in New York City that's hustling harder than I do.
I think you're like me. I'm a naturally brilliant comedian, and I just don't do the work.
Now, have you always been a blonde?
No, my hair's black, naturally.
But have you always stripped as a blonde?
Yeah.
Always. Mm-hmm. So you think you'd make less money as a in your natural...
That's an excellent question, Noam, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah. I think I personally would. I think that my skin just looks better with blonde hair. My skin's way too light for dark hair, but there's plenty of girls that have dark hair.
What ethnicity are you if you have black hair?
I'm supposedly 3/4 Italian and 1/4 Welsh, but I have a really detailed theory that I was switched at birth.
Well, you can check that out with 23andMe.
Yeah, well, my family is dwindled down to virtually nothing, so I don't really have anyone to test.
You test yourself. No, but,
yeah, you test yourself.
I understand how 23andMe works, but I have my theory is that my biological mother is my dad's sister. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So, and I think that she...
Wait. It doesn't make sense.
You're saying your dad and you're the child of...
No. I think that my dad's sister had me with some random man, and...
So your dad is not your biological dad?
Correct. My dad would be my biological uncle. Yeah. And I think my aunt couldn't raise me, so she gave me to her brother and my mom to raise. Here are the list of reasons why I think that. I was born in Lenox Hill Hospital, but my parents didn't live in New York City, so that doesn't make sense. There's no like completed book or anything like from the doctor. Like there's a thing and it says like a couple of basic things about when I was born, but you can tell that it wasn't completed, which seemed weird. There's one baby picture in existence of me, and my dad's best friend's name is Mikey, and I was actually just in Las Vegas doing the Laugh Factory, and I was talking to Mikey about this, and Mikey said, come to think of it, I know for a fact I met your parents in 1988. And your mom wasn't pregnant. And I have no memory of her inviting my wife to a baby shower or anything. And then one day they just had a 2-year-old and you were just there. So
why are they keeping this whole secret from you?
I don't know. I mean, my dad died when I was 11.
The guy who claims he's your dad.
Yeah.
The guy who raised you.
Yeah.
Allegedly your dad.
Yeah. And my mom, I don't have a good relationship with her.
You say yeah. The when you say yeah.
Yeah.
You say you hear that yeah? That's exactly how Brittany Murphy used to say yeah.
Oh.
She's an actress.
She was an actress. She died.
I don't know, it was 10 years ago or something. Yeah. But the way you say yeah, yeah. That's how she says it.
So now, do you think this is personal?
So go check that out on YouTube.
But do you think that this kind of a difficult childhood is part of the profile of a stripper?
I think it is, and so with my comedy, I play up to it a lot. Like I write a lot of what I perceive to be super funny jokes. Like for example, one of them was my dad died when I was 11, but it's okay because now I'm an adult, and lots of men let me call them daddy.
Oh, that's good. But let the record know she's holding her breasts. let the record show. But what I'm getting at is that do you think there's a profile, a psychological profile of a difficult childhood, which somehow lends to be
no.
like do you have a lot of people working that you're stripping with who like parents are both like doctors and lawyers and they had like really happy childhoods?
Yeah. 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 Honest to God, again, this goes back to that they're not being one single demographic. People, they may think that they know and you know that they assume. You know, whatever. But no, there's plenty of girls that have good relationships with their parents or bad relationships, or like they come from all different walks of life.
So the idea that you're to become a stripper, you have to be like something happened to you and affected you in a way. This is not true.
No, I don't think so.
Noam is concerned because he has a daughter and he's hoping if he does everything right.
Yeah.
Actually, if you had a daughter, would you be upset if she stripped?
Yeah, I would.
You would?
Beat her until she was disabled enough that she couldn't.
So why? You don't consider this to be an honorable profession?
I think there's nothing wrong with what I'm doing, but I think that I have something in me that is exceptionally tough, I guess. I wouldn't, like, I mean, I have two goddaughters and they're beautiful little girls, and I couldn't imagine if they tried to go this route, I would do everything in my power to deter them. I mean, the reason that I got into comedy wasn't because I wanted to make people laugh or anything. It was really because I just wanted to complain about stripping. And I filter through insanity every single day. And yes, my body hurts. Yes, my knees hurt, like all of those problems. But way more than that, stripping is a really serious psychological, it's like psychological warfare on yourself.
Do you ever look forward to going to work?
Yeah, when I know it's going to be money. Like,
but do you enjoy it whilst you're there?
No, I mean, the money is the thing that I enjoy.
Because, you know, it is hard work. I mean, it's not just, they have to talk to people and and grind. It's a lot of rejection, too, because I always, you know, I mean, they come over to me and I don't necessarily want to lap dance, you know, as I alluded to earlier. So I'm like, no, no, thank you.
It's not that, though. Like, that's, you know, that's one thing. But I've had people to my face say, like, no, you're too fat, or no, your teeth are too spread out, or no, you know, whatever it is. Like, they pick apart things about my body. And I think I'm beautiful. I love my teeth.
Could I please spread?
I don't see
you have perfect
that.
Teeth.
Thank you.
At all. I mean, you're not. If you were Vanessa Paradis, the parody, you know, you know Vanessa Paradis.
You're perfect.
She's
yeah, French actress.
Johnny Depp's ex-wife. Yeah. If you had her teeth, it would be very hard for me to lie to you and say your teeth are fine and they're not gappy. I'm going to show you Vanessa Paradis. You guys, talk amongst yourselves.
So when you meet somebody in the club and he asks you on a date, he's rich, so you will go out with him.
That's not exactly how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I had said this to you earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. She should get that fixed.
Well, she married Johnny Depp, so apparently it's working.
I guess. Yeah. So you had asked me earlier if I had ever been to the Comedy Cellar, and I told you that the only times I've ever been to the Comedy Cellar is when I make rich men take me here.
Yeah.
Well, wait. For two things. First, Lauren Hutton has space beneath. Rich men are taking you here. That means that you're an escort.
No.
As a date.
Oh, as a date. Yeah. They're not paying you to take you there.
No. So it's like...
Forgive me.
Kind of complicated. No, it's okay.
No more an escort than any other woman that goes on a date.
Whoa, that's my wife you're talking about.
I guess it's complicated. I don't mind...
These are just dates. They're not paying you for the company.
No. I'm getting paid. Yeah.
Let me not interrupt you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not a prostitute. I would never have sex in exchange for money. It's never going to happen.
A lot of angry men at the end of these dates then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But that is still, is an escort necessarily a prostitute?
It's a different
somewhere.
Thing. It's just, unfortunately, people, they hear one word and they associate it with something else. Yeah. So I just want to make it clear that if I meet somebody and they have money and they're cool, like, I mean, I'm not going to hang out with, even if you have millions of dollars, if you're a jerk, I am not going to waste my time.
Millions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have been offered everything under the sun by some men who have a lot of money.
I am having trouble with this. So if I pass the jerk test and I say, listen, that's I'll pay you, how much do I have to pay you to come to the Comedy Cellar with me?
Like $500.
Okay, I'll pay you $500. Now, you know goddamn well I am looking for some sort of release at the end of this thing.
Laughter.
You should go to a brothel then.
Right, but you know that. Do you say to him in advance, listen, I'll go, but there's no full service, whatever. There's no, do you tell him that?
Well, I feel like it's kind of implied. So I wouldn't do it with somebody that I just met one time and they were like, hey, you know, like, I want to go out in public with you or whatever. When you've been dancing as long as I have, you see certain people and like they have a certain reputation.
So it's a regular client.
Yeah. And like they have a certain reputation and like we're almost kind of encouraged to do it actually in the club. Like we do this promo thing where we go out to like Mastro's or you know, like an expensive steakhouse, and just be out mingling with people that have a lot of money. And
do you cuddle up with him? Do you put your arms around him? Do you kiss him?
No.
So what's he paying you the $500 for? Just to be seen with you on his arm, or just for the company? You're a good conversationalist.
Yeah.
I mean,
here's where I'm curious.
So then I'm assuming you do this also sometimes with people that don't pay you, that are just somebody you want to hang out with, right?
Yeah, like someone I want to date.
So what's the what's the difference between the two, where it's somebody that you are charging $500 for and not sleeping with at the end, that it sounds like you have all the same requirements for somebody that you wouldn't charge, because they still have to be a cool person that you want to hang out with, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the...
That's a fantastic question.
Very good, yeah. Boris.
Somebody had to.
I guess it's very complicated.
I think a lot's to do probably with how you met them. But if you met them at the club, you're probably less likely to date them and take them seriously in that regard.
But it sounds like that's also happening where you don't meet them at the club, where you go to a steakhouse and mingle.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It depends. Like,
so what's the profile of the guy you like?
Okay. Well, I currently am dating someone who I really like. He's a nationally touring comedian. He's doing a lot of cruise ships right now.
What are his initials?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Did this start as a letter that you wrote?
I met him in L.A.
Is it John Joseph?
No.
Wait, is this a white man?
Yes.
And he does a lot of cruise ships.
Yes.
I hope it's not Tony Darrow. All right, go ahead.
Lenny Marcus?
No.
So...
Are you looking him up?
Well, I was trying to find, like, I've done cruise ships myself, mm-hmm. If cruise ship acts are your thing. But I'm trying to think of who I've run across in the cruise ship circuit. I haven't done them in a couple of years, but that would be maybe intriguing to her. The ones I know are like mostly married guys.
He's not married.
Yeah. Have you dated a married guy?
No, I'm not a whore.
Phil Tagliaferri? Phil Tag? No.
Only a whore would date a married guy?
I think so.
You met this gentleman
where? At the Laugh Factory or at
We met in LA at that hotel that's like right across from the Comedy Store.
What's that?
And I didn't know he was a comedian. I just walked up to I was hanging out with this drug dealer, and we walked up to this group of guys because the drug dealer was giving one of them drugs. Mm. And I just started talking to the three of them, and one of them was like unbelievable. Like, I'm not attracted
No, Jeff Dye doesn't do cruises.
Uh-huh. Okay. You really want to figure it out, don't you?
Do you know Jeff Dye?
No. Oh.
Keep going.
Okay, so I didn't know. One of them was... one of the three guys was Chad Prather. Do you know who he is? Oh, he's like YouTube famous. I just started talking to them, and then they were like, let's go across the street to the Comedy Store. And I was like, okay. So we went across the street, and I was talking to the one guy more, and then it turned out that he was a comedian, and I was like, oh, I'm a comedian too. And then we liked each other, and then I had a little bit of time to kill between shows in LA and shows in San Diego. So he said, why don't you fly to Kansas City, Missouri and come with me? Cause he was doing like the Funny Bone. And then, so we went to Des Moines, and then we drove in the middle of the night to Chicago.
When was this?
Like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, Kansas City, Missouri, Funny Bone. You got it. You got it, Dan. Zach, get on it.
No.
Why do you want to keep it a secret?
The Funny Bone.
He wants to keep it a secret.
It's not a secret anymore.
I mean, at this point, literally anyone can do
I wouldn't have the balls to suggest Des Moines to Christy Monroe.
Well, what's wrong with Des
Moines? I would figure a girl like you, I got to take her to St. Bart's.
I don't even know where that is.
Okay. I don't know where it is.
It's an island in the Caribbean.
Sounds nice.
Des Moines sounds like a married dude, though. Not
Des Moines doesn't sound like a very exciting place.
It's exciting wherever Christy is.
He was like working. He was headlining. And I didn't have anything else to do anyway. So, but anyway.
All right. When you work at a comedy club.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all the comedians want to bang you, right? You know that. That's uh-huh. How do you negotiate that?
I tell them. that they can book me if they want to.
Oh.
I respect that. Use it as leverage and then tell people to fuck off if they want some more.
Mm-hmm.
So is all your materials are based on your life as a stripper or?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was actually going to say one thing. This booker recently messaged me, and like, long story short, basically what he was saying was, if you want me to book you, you have to have sex with my friend.
Oh, God.
And so I had screenshotted it, and I put it on, and he was a booker at Broadway Comedy Club, so I screenshotted it.
In New York?
Mm-hmm, and I put it on...
So wait, he wanted you to have sex with himself or his
no,
friend?
No, his friend.
Well, that's an odd move, isn't it?
But so a great friend.
I put it on
that's
my
harassment.
So anyway, yeah. I put it on my comedy Facebook page, and Al Martin immediately contacted him and said, "You'll never work at my club again, and I have like tons of respect for Christy, and you know that I'm very professional, and how dare he talk to me like that, et cetera, et cetera." So, in my like, Al did a great job, I think, of
how stupid
standing
was
up
this
for...
guy that like
yeah, and
how,
it on
how
a text?
Recent was this first of all?
Like a couple weeks ago.
But how blatant? How everything's a couple weeks ago. How blatant was it? I mean, was it explicitly stated? This
oh,
is
I
what
can,
you must.
Can
you,
yeah,
can you
I
read
can
the text?
Show you.
Show
yeah.
us. Show us.
Read
us.
The text,
right
please.
Now.
I mean, that said, sounds so dumb. Like,
yeah. I mean, who you say it, but you don't text it.
That would never happen at the Comedy Cellar.
You don't. First of all, you don't text anything. That's,
yeah, this
that's
is
potentially
evidence.
Compromising.
Does this guy know what plausible deniability?
I think it was just Al testing the waters.
No, no.
No. He's got a fake profile.
No.
Al's troll account.
No, this might take a minute to find it.
No, have you been in a strip club recently?
Not recently. Not in a while. Why?
Yeah, no, just asking. Yeah.
But I always had fun in strip club. I used to go with Outside Steve.
Yeah.
Now, anytime I went to a strip club with Outside Steve, he always came back with the stripper's number and would date them.
I will give you my number.
Always.
I will give anyone on the planet my number. If you want to contact me and tell me you want to give me money, here's my number. Just
but
because
he,
I give
he,
you my
he
number,
has no money.
It doesn't mean that I'm going to.
Steve has no
he
money.
He has no money.
I mean, he has he they
he
liked,
works for Noaman.
They liked him, so he has no money. They liked him for him.
No, I mean, guys date strippers.
Steve, outside Steve, I went to a Brazilian carnival party one time with Steve and in the 90s or early 2000s, and Miss Brazil, fresh from the Miss Universe contest, was there. Anushka Prada was her name. And Steve went in there, met her, and brought her home and dated her.
Wow.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
I think there's also some guys where, like, they either have friends that worked in that industry or whatever it is, where you can sense that it's not, like, a weird thing to them. Is that – I'm kind of guessing here, but, like, as opposed to somebody that, that like, I don't know, sees it as a foreign thing that you can just tell that they're never going to be normal.
Okay, first off, I made this really funny skit about that. I really hate when guys are like, can I get your number? I used to date a stripper. And then in the skit, I say, I used to have a dick.
Oh, God.
No, it couldn't matter less to me whether or not you know strippers or you've hung out with strippers. Or, like, we're
no,
not
I,
aliens.
I don't mean as fact. I don't mean as fact. I just mean, like, somebody might not.
Can you read it for us?
Yeah.
I don't see where he says that he'll give you a performing stage time.
Where's the quid
it's
pro quo?
I have someone I would like to introduce you to. His name is Donnie Diamonds. I said, oh boy. He said, he is a legend. I met him at Exotica. He is a character, but knows very wealthy people and is wealthy himself. I said, what is the purpose of introducing us? I don't need wealthy friends. I need useful friends. He said, okay, let me prove my worth then and my usefulness. I said, how did we switch from him to you? He said, and you make the decision from there because all I am doing is making the introduction. You decide what happens. I said, what is the purpose of this introduction? Because I knew where he was going with this. He said, to gain other avenues of revenue from you. I said, is he coming to the strip club? He said, special services. And then he said, not involving sex. Come on.
Yeah.
But domination. He is a master. I said, ha, ha, ha. Person's name. I am going to say this to you once. He said, okay, I'm listening. Do not ever contact me about anything like this ever again. He said, understood. You want a spot on 696 at 7 p.m. or, oh, Chris Cope just messaged me. Or 918 at 8 p.m. And then I said, I'm headlining in Arizona, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, I did not mean to offend you. I said, you did. Don't do it again. And then he said, I'm an accountant. This is totally out of my element. And I said, so keep it out of your element. Mind your business. Do not get involved. He said, true. Done deal. And then I screenshotted it. And then.
But it sounds to me like he offered you the possible dates to perform after he had. I didn't hear quid pro quo.
Then. Sorry. We had already discussed, like, I was already booked to do his show on 9/18.
But he didn't take it away from you after you told him to go fuck himself with regard to introducing you to his friend.
After I screenshotted it and made it public, and then 5,000 people flipped out, and then Al Martin fired him forever. Yes, obviously.
Oh well, no many thoughts.
I know what you're thinking, and if I were the jury, I would have trouble. I'd need more evidence. But clearly, he was fishing around to try to hook up his.
He was clearly
trying to hook you up with his friend, but it's not clear that it was actually a condition of the spot. However, she might have assumed that and been like, this is what's going on now. He's in a position of power. He doesn't have to spell it out. He's just like saying, this is what I'd like you to do. And she might be afraid to say no because she doesn't want to lose the spots.
But if it were.
Is that right?
Yeah, but
yeah, and that's
the thing
not,
that,
that's not cool.
No,
he didn't actually say, unless you do
there's,
this.
There's no amount of money. There's no comedy spot. There's no TV show on the planet that would make me do anything
like
that.
No, I understand that. But he didn't actually say, unless you go hang out with my friend, you're not going to get the spots. But you inferred that. That was implied.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's legit.
Well, I think that the main thing there is that you're not in the business of fucking people for money. So, like, I corrected myself in my head, because my first thought was like, well, let's say we weren't talking about that. You had like some other trade that you did, I don't know, painting or something. And he was like, oh, by the way, also, now that you're booked on this spot, like, I have a friend that needs to commission a work of art. Do you want to do this commissioned work of art? That's not a quid pro quo, right?
That's still pressure, though. There is a pressure to that. I mean, it's not an unacceptable pressure, but when anybody ever asks you something in the context of another business relationship, you always feel like, oh shit, I don't want to fuck up this thing. Maybe I have to do that thing.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. But I mean, obviously, like, life is pressure. Like, at a certain point, this might be an opportunity to do a thing.
But yes, that's true. I also see why did he have to mention the spots at that conversation?
Mm-hmm. They're unrelated.
So he kind of remind her a little bit, like, who I am, you know? Mm-hmm. So I feel like, I understand where she's coming from.
I think at that point, he was like trying to just like clear the air, like, no, but it's okay. Okay, everything's fine, and you still have your spots, and
right.
Don't think that I was going to ever take them away from you.
Well, because you got stern with him because you had the sense that he was going somewhere with it.
But mm-hmm. Once again, Al Martin is the hero of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again.
Well, what do you mean yet again? well, rest assured, at the Comedy Cellar, there's only one criterion for performing here,
mm-hmm.
and that is, are you killing?
Yes, I am.
So, you know.
Please pass me.
Well, I don't have that authority.
You have to send video.
I don't have that authority.
Okay, I'll send it right now.
Actually, don't even send it to me because it's just going to get me in trouble.
Oh, no.
Send it to Dan.
I've been doing this podcast for how long? Never got asked for a video.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you say that. Actually, every time I see you like on Facebook, I said, I have to check. I never asked you for videos. I know I could find it. I said, I have to, because he always makes me laugh.
He's pretty funny. I have to check out
Boris's
send him the video. Send
comedy.
Yeah, I got stupid material on there, actually, don't I?
He does, yeah.
What is your ambition ultimately? To be a world-famous comedian? To continue dancing? To retire? To Tahiti?
My ambition ultimately is to help people.
In what way? Because we need help.
Well, we are people, are we not?
Yeah, we are people too. Damn it.
I wrote a book. Like, I have a pretty incredible, not to toot my own horn, but like, I have a pretty incredible life story. Mm-hmm. Now, like, a producer from Warner Brothers is interested in making it into a film. And the reason that I am doing comedy is because in a very roundabout kind of way, I'm telling my story, which is that, like, despite surviving a lot of abuse in my childhood and a lot of, like, pretty bad things, I grew up to be a really healthy, happy, confident person. And, like, I am in the thick of seeing girls that are making bad decisions, and I want to inspire them to respect themselves and make better decisions and take care of themselves. And you know, so like some of my comedy might seem very brash. Like I tell a joke about this French girl that I recently saw suck a dick, and it's a long story. But
we have time.
Oh.
No hurry.
That's a story that we can hear.
This episode's going to be a two-parter.
You have a place to be. I'm all right.
This is the first time that Noam doesn't have to go.
I'm, I don't know if this young lady is single, but I'm looking for an attractive French girl with whom to practice my French.
You don't want this girl.
Okay. Just where was it that you saw her?
I can't say because that would incriminate where I was.
Oh, okay.
Was it in America?
Yes.
You really spilled a lot through this whole thing. We all of a sudden.
I know. I have tons of stories.
What was
her name?
Go ahead. No, you don't want to be a famous. You don't want to be Amy Schumer. You don't want to be Whitney Cummings. That's not your ambition.
No, I do. I want to be a famous comedian. I want to make this movie. I have a really good idea for a TV show called Hashtag Stripper Problems. I feel like it's very self-explanatory. I mean, there's a lot of different things that I want to do. I think that the main thing in life that you could do to limit yourself is just not exploring every avenue. So I've got a lot of projects going on all the time, but I think that being who I am and just being honest about it is what's going to get me far. And I think that it's what's already gotten me a lot further than most people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you said you had an interesting life story, there was abuse and there was all that sort of thing. I thought of Nanette because have you seen Nanette?
So thank you. I've been referencing it a lot lately. I was headlining in Arizona and like 2 weekends ago. And can I tell you like a sad story?
Is it interesting?
All right. So,
if it ends with a French. No.
Okay. So, all right. When I was 11, my dad committed suicide, and then my mom's boyfriend was like molesting me, and then I got put in foster care, and then my mom regained custody of me, and then she sold me to a pedophile on Long Island.
Well, where's the sad part?
And then.
Where were you during the Nets taping?
Wait. Okay. And
sold you to
a pedophile. Yeah. And then he sold me into sex slavery when I was 15. And then he tried to kill me. And then I ran away and I was homeless. And I ran from Plainview, Long Island to Tempe, Arizona.
And you waited until the show was over to share this with us.
And
you have to lead with this. Go ahead.
Okay. So I ran from Plainview, Long Island to Tempe, Arizona. And I was homeless for 8 months. And then I got legally emancipated when I was 16 and started college. And then the pedophile came to Arizona and found me, and then like he kidnapped me, and then I had to like run away, and the cops had to arrest him, and all this crazy stuff happened. So anyway, I got booked to do this headlining opportunity in Arizona, and I was so nervous. And I wasn't necessarily nervous about doing comedy, like I'm fine, I know my act and everything, that was fine. I was super nervous that he was going to show up and be in the audience and like be there. I was panicking. And so like right before that on the airplane, I had watched Nanette, and I realized that what she did was the start of what I'm gonna do. And I've not been doing comedy as long as she has, and I definitely need to sculpt what I'm doing better. But where I'm going with it is that I'm gonna tell my story. And so when I was in Arizona, I have a video of this. I can send it to you. It was great. I got a standing ovation and everything. I told them, because the pedophile, he lives there now. He married a Russian mail order bride. And
he was in jail, but now he's out.
Yeah, he's out. And he married a Russian mail order bride. And then he conned 12 investors into giving him $450,000 that he was supposed to use to buy cars to send to her brother in Russia. But he was like doing, I don't know, embezzling the money or whatever. So then he got arrested by the FBI. And then like, I don't know, whatever happened. But now he's out and he lives there. He lives in Scottsdale. And so during my comedy act, like I did like 15 minutes like straight comedy, and then kind of like 15 minutes telling this story, but like kind of also in a comedic way, the way that that Hannah Gatsby did in Nanette. And like at the end of it, like I made it very light, like just tip your local strippers, and you know, like just coming back to that, like I am okay, and that even though I have this story, you know, I can still make light of it, and it's like, you know. So, yeah, what she did really did inspire me very much, and I am at the very beginning of developing something that I think is going to be, hopefully, as I, in my opinion, and I know that a lot of people have really mixed opinions about what she did, but I personally believe that what she did was phenomenal and intelligent. And I mean, the control that she had over the crowd and their emotions was, in my opinion, second to none. I mean, I think she did a great job. It wasn't for everyone, you know, it wasn't the funniest comedy special ever, but she definitely did something that, you know, there's a reason why now everyone's talking about it. So
I agree. You know, Dan knows, I agree with you. I think the people gave her a bunch of flack because it didn't fit their view of what a comedy special. I'm like, doesn't matter. The point is that you couldn't turn it off. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares what, if it fits exactly in a category? I thought it was pretty impressive for the same reasons that you said. So do you have any take on the, we have to end, any take on the Me Too movement? What I'm thinking, I don't know if it's okay to think it, is that you've had such a tough life, and yet you seem undaunted and don't let anything stop you, that maybe when you see, when you hear a story about a woman somewhere who says that, you know, her whole life went off the rails because of, you know, some guy who did X, Y, or Z, so, and you hear these stories from serious, like, rape or even less mm-hmm. than that, do you say to yourself, I feel for them, or do you say to yourself, I've been through so much more, how come they can't get over that?
No, I feel for them. I think that just because I survived what I survived and turned out the way that I did doesn't mean that everyone should have, and everybody's
so you can
different.
See how it could have gone the other way for you mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, definitely. And that's part of why, you know, I wouldn't be okay with my goddaughters or your daughter or any other little girl going the path that I've taken. I think I'm uniquely very, very tough, like, tough as nails, and I'm not taking away from
I
any
think
other
born
woman.
That way. You've always been that way. You're
yeah,
just tough.
Yeah.
So you're saying that you're the profession stripping requires toughness, or
yes, yeah.
Do you feel that it has in any way had psychological impact on you, or a negative impact?
No, I wouldn't say that. In large part because I have never been susceptible to drinking or doing any drugs or making any poor decisions. Like, there's nothing anybody can say that's gonna change my moral character. So I don't feel embarrassed by anything that I do. I mean, like, I wrote this joke about how my dad is in heaven and people try to make me feel better about it. And they say that your dad's always watching over you. But, you know, even if my dad is always watching over me, I'm not doing anything like when I get to heaven that my dad would be like, how dare you? So I don't feel bad about it.
All right.
Well, I'm not saying you feel
bad,
but you feel it has like a psychological impact anyway. That was
yeah, that was great. Thank you for sharing. And, you know, you definitely come back, you know. All right, you want to share any information or upcoming events?
You can meet me at Vivid tonight.
When are you at Vivid? It depends.
Whenever, yeah. This weekend I'm going to be at the Tropicana in Atlantic City. My Instagram is Stripper Comedian. My Twitter is Thong Therapist. If you have trouble spelling that, search for Thong the Rapist. Same thing. I wrote a book. It's called Something Ridiculous, and hopefully it'll be out soon.
All right. Dan?
At Dan Natterman.
At Dan Natterman. Yeah. Boris?
At The Boris K.
The Boris K. And Live from America Podcast.com. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.